Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the Inside China Basin Baseball Podcast on the sportsvirus.com, featuring players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
And Ray Woodson is our regular guest, too.
A lot of ifs, but after a disastrous 2017, the Giants were not going to rebuild. They're at least trying to compete, while many teams in the majors are tanking.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play. Welcome to our third spring training podcast for 2018, and today we have a great show with five Giants players on Inside China Basin, starting with Austin Jackson, the new outfielder that the Giants were able to sign this offseason, plus a couple of young outfielders still trying to establish themselves at the major league level, and Mack Williamson and Austin Slater, and Tyler Beede, who's had kind of a tough spring training so far, but still trying to make the Giants roster out of spring training, and Mark Melanson, who's coming back from surgery on his pronator on his right arm. We'll start with Austin Jackson. Hey, Austin, how's things going? Is it fun getting to know some new teammates and maybe some guys that you knew before that you were playing against, now your teammates?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's a pretty veteran squad and, you know, the pretty even keel, you know, team, and a lot of guys with a lot of experience, and it's good to be a part of that. You know, I played against some of these guys for a little bit, and now getting a chance to play with them, I'm just looking forward to it, and you know, just looking forward to contributing to something that could be special. So,
well, you went against them, of course, in the World Series in 2012. I'm sure Pablo Sandoval probably hasn't let you forget that, right? But because I think I heard him saying something about that. But at the same time, when you were looking at the Giants from that side of it, what were your thoughts? And now that you're with the team, you know, how does it feel to, you know, have Sandoval bugging you about that all the time?
Oh no, it's all fun though. It's good. You know, it was a good experience for me. And you know, we get some good laughs out of it. And you know, just talking about you know, how, you know, you get to kind of see how the other side was thinking, you know, during that time, and they get to kind of, you know, I get to share with them how we were thinking, and it's pretty cool, you know. It makes for a good, makes for some good laughs. So
I remember being at the game just when he hit those home runs. It was pretty amazing. You see one of them, you think, okay, but to hit three, you must have been shaking your head a little bit.
Yeah, man, it's you don't really you don't think that's gonna happen, especially at, you know, off your ace, and you know, it definitely you know, knocked the wind out of us a little bit, and but like I said, you know, the experience in itself was awesome, and you know, I'm just looking forward to, you know, maybe getting back there and you know, trying to make it trying to change history maybe a little bit.
How challenging is the AT&T Park outfield, being that you're going to be out in center field, a lot of room to track balls out there in right center?
Well, I mean, you said it, yeah. It's a big, spacious ballpark. You know, positioning, I think, is going to be key. And, you know, I think anytime you're playing in a bigger ballpark, you have to make sure that you're, you know, positioned right, you know, maybe kind of, you know, take away some of the space out there.
Mark Melanson told me that you were his roommate in Double A. Tell us about that experience. What kind of a personality was he? Has he changed a little bit since then?
No. He's, you know, honestly, he's the same guy. That's why it's, you know, the first, you know, just seeing him at Fan Fest and, you know, just talking to him. It's like, man, we haven't changed a bit. And, you know, it's probably two of the most, you know, unlikely guys you probably would think would be together, but you know, we hit it off good, and you know, we're still good friends. So
before I let you go, I know you're a really good basketball player. How much do you follow the game now? Who are the, you know, the players, the teams that you watch?
I don't follow as much as I used to. You know, I got a 14-month-old, so you know, he's keeping me pretty busy right now. But you know, when I do get a chance, you know, I like watching. And, you know, obviously, you know, the teams that you know, are the teams in the NBA. You know, you got OKC, you have the Warriors, you have Cleveland. But I like watching some of the younger talent, you know, with the Sixers, the Timberwolves, you know, the Suns. It's fun to watch those guys develop because, you know, those are going to eventually be the next stars of the NBA. So.
Oh, and by the way, I don't know how many times I've seen the highlight of you making that catch at Fenway. How many times have you seen it, and how many times have people asked you about it?
Oh, man, I get asked about it all the time. But, you know, it's cool, though. You know, I don't get tired of watching it, and, you know, I could watch it, you know, 100 more times. So.
Did you know you were going to catch that ball all the way?
Well, I don't think you ever really know you're gonna catch it. You know, you're hoping that you get back there to the wall and just, you know, have an opportunity to make a play on it, and that everything just was lined up perfectly for me to do it, and you know, I was glad I was able to get back there and get that opportunity.
Had to be fun. Thanks a lot, Austin. Appreciate it. And good luck.
All right, thank you. Appreciate it.
That's new Giants outfielder Austin Jackson. Coming up, we'll hear from Mac Williamson, but first, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. As I was thumbing through Golf Digest, I found that TPC Harding Park is recognized as one of the best places to play in America, and that didn't surprise me too much because I love the majestic layout and beautiful amenities. My San Francisco resident card gives me a great rate at TPC Harding Park, and I get to play where PGA Tour icons Jack Nicklaus, Phil Mickelson, and Tiger Woods have played. Now, if I can only score like them, okay, I'll stop dreaming and get to our guest. Well, Mac Williamson is having a great spring training so far in Scottsdale, Arizona. Just before the game started there in Scottsdale, I had a chance to talk to Mac Williamson at Media Day. Here was that conversation.
The experience that you have under your belt now, that you've been, you know, been in the big leagues back and forth a little bit with AAA, but you've had that big league experience, so how much does that help you going into this year?
I think it's a tremendous help. Anytime you can get experience at something, the more you do it, the better you become. You know, you're able to kind of calm your nerves a little bit and get out there and just play the game that you've always played. When you're first coming up, you're a wide-eyed kid, and you look up and you look around, and, you know, your dreams come true. And after having some experience, having some time, you're able to kind of calm it down and just get down to business.
You know, talking to Austin about dealing with injuries, you've had the same kind of situation where you're up in the major leagues, you feel like you're getting your shot, and then you get hurt. So how did you handle all that?
Yeah, it's tough. It's a mental grind. You know, fortunately, we have very, very good medical staff here, and they took good care of me last year. It was a frustrating year, you know, aside from injuries, just because I could never get it going last year. But, you know, when you realize everything happens for a reason and try to make the most of it, and injuries really make you hungrier. When you're sitting out and missing out on the experiences with your teammates and the guys, we're all, you know, close friends, it's a really trying time, and it makes you really hungry and eager to get back out there on the field.
You've had some really good spring trainings in the past. So how do you view spring training and having success and whatever, you know, batting average or getting a good rhythm going during that time in Scottsdale?
I don't think that it's super important to look at the numbers in spring. Everybody's trying to work on something and getting the rhythm, and that includes the opposing pitchers. You know, they're not immune to making mistakes in spring that they're not going to make during the season. And so I don't read too much into the success in spring training. Obviously, as you said, I've had okay springs in the past, and it hasn't always translated to the season. And I don't think I'm, you know, the only one that has experienced that. I think for the most part, it's important to remain healthy. As you've seen, some guys, I haven't made it healthy out of spring a couple times, and you know, if you're not healthy, it doesn't matter how good your numbers are or how you're, you know, feeling at the plate or defensively. If you're not on the field, you can't help the team. So, for me, it's just about going into camp, trying to learn as much from the new guys. Obviously, with Kutch and Austin both being, you know, in the outfield now and obviously still having Hunter, those are really some guys that, you know, Austin and I both can learn a lot from, be out there with, and hopefully have a good time.
I mean, yeah, the names that were added. I mean, you see a guy like McCutcheon, who was an MVP, and even Evan Longoria playing at third base. I mean, these were face of the franchise type players elsewhere. I mean, you guys have to be excited to add those pieces.
Absolutely. I was talking the other day with some people about that, and, you know, it should be awesome to have those guys around, bringing the experiences that they've had with their teams and the leadership ability that they've had. with their organizations, their respective organizations. Gotten to spend a little bit of time with Evan the last week, and he's been great to hang out with and talk to and kind of pick his brain a little bit. And Kutch just got in the other day, so I haven't got to talk to him as much. But those two guys, I mean, their resumes speak for themselves. And, you know, it's really good to have those guys, that type of you know, experience and positivity coming into the clubhouse. I think it's only going to bolster, you know, what we already have. And I'm excited to be a part of it.
You know, those are players who have power. And there's so much talk about hitting home runs in baseball this year. I actually think it's overplayed. You know, you want to make sure you hit the ball hard before you hit a home run. But what have you learned about that? You have the power. One thing I've noticed about you is that you seem to be more of a patient hitter than you were when you were, you know, very first coming up. Do you feel like that is something that you've learned? And what do you think about power?
Yeah, I think it goes back to just the experience. When you first come up and you're wide-eyed and you get up there and you really want to make an impression, I spent a lot of time the first part of 15 when I got up and then 16 trying to prove myself and prove that I belong and prove that I deserve to get called up. And that really can eat at you, and it can really degrade your performance once you're out there. Instead of just letting the game come to you and being more relaxed, I think although last year I didn't have as much time as I wanted to have, I think it was a valuable lesson for me to be able to see, you know, what it takes to remain up there. I got a little chance early in the year, didn't take advantage of it. And then in September, I just said, you know what, I'm just going to have fun, play, and whatever happens, happens. And I feel like I did okay in September and, you know, going into the off season. So I think that, you know, more than anything, it's just calming yourself and relaxing and having experience and really knowing that it's the same game you've been playing for a long time.
How do you deal with going back to the minor leagues? Because it's just not easy. I mean, when you have options, of course they can do it. And as somebody who broadcast in AAA for 7 years, I saw players, and some of them handled it fine. Other ones, it was the toughest thing for them because you go from this major league lifestyle to AAA, which it's the minor leagues. Even though it's the highest minor leagues, it's the minor leagues. It's tough. The pay is lower. The hotels aren't as nice. Yeah, how did you get into a routine to be successful at the AAA level when you're down there?
It can be difficult. I was fortunate enough to kind of be a bystander with some other guys that it happened to when I first came up and had seen some guys that, you know, when I was first in AAA in 15 and then again in 16, seen some guys that had been in the big leagues a few years here and there, up and down, and some of them handled it very well, some of them didn't. And the guys that did not handle it well weren't in baseball very long, and the guys that did continued to get opportunities and make something of it. So I promised myself last year that I wouldn't get too down. The end goal is to be in the big leagues, you're right. But if you really beat up on yourself and you take it personally, you know, at the end of the day, if you perform and you get a chance in the big leagues and you perform, you're going to stay in the big leagues. And you know, the bottom line is I haven't performed well enough to remain in the big leagues. So the consistency aspect of that is, you know, really something to strive for. And, you know, the mental game, you just got to play it one day at a time and just, you know, trust your ability and confidence and not beat yourself up and not try to point fingers at anybody else. Because at the end of the day, if you perform, you're going to be there.
To finish up, you know, as somebody who's grew up or, you know, went to college back east and you come out here, now you've played in, you know, San Jose and Sacramento and San Francisco. So Bay Area, Northern California, how much have you enjoyed just the lifestyle?
It's great. I mean, it's this whole area is booming. It's fun. There's always a lot going on. And then the fan base obviously is phenomenal, and it's one of a kind. And you know, we're truly honored to be able to have the chance to play in front of the fans, especially here in San Francisco. And it's just an exciting time, and we're ready to get rocking.
All right, Mac. Hey, have a great spring training, and see you soon.
Thank you very much.
That's Giants outfielder Mac Williamson. I also chatted with Austin Slater at Giants Media Day. Here was that conversation.
Austin, I mean, last year you proved a lot, I think, in the major league level. It's unfortunate that you got hurt. So how did you look at the overall learning experience?
I took a lot of away from last season, you know, positives and negatives. You know, you learn in every sort of event, a lot of different things. My routine was the biggest thing I felt like I got down last year, you know, getting comfortable in the clubhouse and getting to know the guys. So that was great. And then getting the first taste of major league pitching. I know I only got like 120 at bats, but starting to figure out like how guys are approaching me and how to approach certain pitchers, obviously was able to take it away from guys like Buster and Belt and Craw and those guys that are, you know, the best in the game at analyzing pitchers. So, you know, those are the things I took away from last season.
What kind of adjustments do you think the pitchers made to you when they saw that you were hitting the ball pretty hard?
I started coming in a lot more. You know, that was I think what they were trying to do. It's something I've been working on in this off season, but yeah, every pitcher's a little different, you know, with what their strengths are, and but a lot of times they try to come in inside. Yeah.
The injuries that you had, I mean, you come back and then and you get hurt again. I mean, it had to be difficult to go through that. So, you know, what was the hardest part, you think, of being out and trying to get back?
Honestly, I think the hardest part was the mentality, trying to stay positive, going through two different rehab processes. You know, it's tough to stay positive, but that's, I think, physically you recover faster, and I think you approach each day trying to work harder to get back and trying to remember that end goal of coming back. It's easy to get lost in it when you're like, all right, you have 10 weeks or 12-week rehab. Well, right around week 6 or 7, you're like, man, is this ever going to end? Like, I just want to play baseball again. So I think that was the hardest part, was trying to stay positive through all that.
Take us back to the first game, when you first walked into a Major League Stadium and you're playing, you know, your first game and you're looking around. I mean, what kind of emotions were running through your mind?
You know, honestly, like, I think I kind of blacked out a little bit. Like I'm trying to, like, think back, and I can remember bits and pieces. I was in Philadelphia, so, like, I remember that. but, like, walking out on the field for the first time, I think, was the moment that I'll remember the most. Philly has, like, they have four decks. And so, like, shagging BP and, like, looking up and, like, being like, oh, my God, this is real. Like, this is happening. Like, I'm going to be out here tonight. So that was great. And then, obviously, the first at bat, just my heart was pounding. Couldn't tell you the pitch sequence at all. But, yeah, that was cool. And then just being in the clubhouse before and after was, like, super surreal. Like, guys that you watch, like, in the minors at every affiliate they have, they throw on Giants games, you know, like – you know, because you want to follow the team, you want to follow the guys, and obviously learn from what they do. And it's like, shoot, I'm playing with these guys. They're all my team now. So that was all really cool.
Speaking of the minors, you had been playing at second base, and then they put you out in the outfield. And how comfortable do you feel, you know, really at both positions? I mean, you're an outfielder now, but what did you learn from the transition?
Versatility was huge for me. That was something I prided myself on. It's been a little bit since I've taken some ground balls, although I have logged a couple innings at third base in the major leagues, so that was pretty cool. But you know, it's been a little while, but I feel like it's like riding a bike. You know, it'll take a little extra practice. I have to spend a little extra time if I wanted to do it again, but right now I think they said they're comfortable with me in the outfield, so that's what I'm going to focus on.
How tough was last year as a team? I mean, to have the losing season that you guys did, you know, everybody's so used to winning around here the last 7 years or 8 years or so. So, you know, what did it do as far as, you know, people trying to, you know, dig deep, and what do you think you take into this season after that?
You know, it's hard for me to really say, because that's really my only taste of the big leagues. And to say I was really only a part of the team for about a month and a half, and then I was on the DL going back and forth. So it's really hard for me to say. You know, so far, just talking to the guys right now, everyone's really positive. The outlook is great. You know, obviously we added a lot of pieces, and hopefully the fans are excited. I know all the guys here so far talking to are really excited about it. You know, Bochy, Bobby and Larry are all super pumped about it, and I think the general mentality is the same throughout everyone in the clubhouse, which is let's win this year.
How do you approach the competition? You know, you got friends, you got Mac Williamson over here, you guys compete, you know, against each other, yet you're friends, and you know, the Giants go out, they get some veteran guys, so it's always a competition to try to show what you can do, right?
Right, yeah, nothing's changing for me, mentality wise you know, I'm sure the same with Mac over here. You know, you see the additions, you know, it's just going to make the road a little tougher, which is you know what you sign up for when you play this game, right? There's nothing's given to you, and it's all based on numbers and how you perform. So you know, it's I think more challenging each other than, you know, competing against each other. I'm challenging him to be better. He's challenging me to be better. So that's the mentality that we're taking going forward.
You played at Stanford. What a great place to play your college baseball. And Mark Marquess has retired after, I mean, God knows how many years and so much success and everything. What's your reaction to that? And what do you think of the Stanford program going forward? They have the Cal coach, Dave Esker, which is kind of unusual to get a coach from, you know, over at Cal to go to Stanford.
Yeah, so I've actually been training down there all offseason. And so I've been able to talk to Esker a bunch and went back for alumni weekend and all that. And it's, you know, the transition's been really smooth so far. Well, Esker, obviously, he played for for nine, Mark Marquez for 4 years. So the transition has been very smooth. Talking to the guys down there, they love it. Obviously, when you see a legend like Mark Marquez go, it's going to feel a little weird, a little eerie, like there's a big personality missing from the program. But so far, they seem to be locked in, and they're looking forward to a good season.
Yeah, that's got to be a great place to play. Sunken Diamond, what a really cool baseball field. I mean, probably made your decision pretty easy to go there, right?
Yeah, once I got on campus, you know, I'm born and raised in Jacksonville, Florida, so took a visit, and then I was just like, shoot, this is where I'm going to school. And it was pretty easy after that. Yeah, you look out on Sunken Diamond, picturesque. You see the dish and the clock tower and Hoover Tower, and you know it's easy.
At what point in the off season are you just kind of chomping at the bit to get to spring training?
I would say about the second week of January. You know, you get the New Year's kind of wears off, and then you're like, all right, let's start playing games. Like you're tired of just hitting in the cages and throwing on the field, so. I'm excited to get down there. So finally getting back into it.
All right, Austin. Hey, thanks a lot for the time. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Joe.
That's Giants outfielder Austin Slater at Scottsdale Stadium at the beginning of March, and a chance to sit down in the Giants dugout with Tyler Beede. Let's listen into that conversation.
Tyler, how are you feeling here in spring training? I know you already have an outing under your belt. What'd you learn from that, and what do you want to work on here in spring training?
Yeah, I'm feeling great so far. You know, pleased with where my stuff is at, the sharpness of my off-speed pitches. Command's okay. Need to get the ball down a little bit more. Next start, I'm really just focusing on being more convicted in each pitch that I throw, making sure that I'm, you know, staying within myself, confident with the stuff that I'm doing, and going out there and having fun and just doing the things that I usually do, you know, when I'm successful, and that's just having fun competing.
Sounds like you have a really good plan for spring training. Is that something that you feel like you've developed over the last few years and now you've kind of got a good angle on how to handle it?
Yeah, absolutely. Just fine-tuning my approach each spring and, you know, making sure that I'm determining what's good for my routine and what's not. And at this point, this is my third big league camp and, you know, obviously going and competing for a spot, just knowing that I don't need to do anything, you know, too special, just be myself. And so when I'm out there on the mound, it's spring training, I'm working on stuff, but I understand that, you know, each start matters here, especially for the position that I'm in. So, you know, just going out there and having fun competing and not putting too much pressure on, you know, the results and trying to get better from each start.
You were certainly on track to get a look with the Giants last year, and then the injury occurred. So, you know, tell us, how did that affect you? What did you have to work on to come back from the injury?
Yeah, it was tough timing. Obviously, no injury is good timing, but I think it allowed me to just have a new perspective of, you know, my preparation and my routine. There were things that I needed to work on and off the field in order to get my body in positions to be healthy for a full big league season. So I think it gave me that ample time to learn about those things, and then as well gave me time in the fall league to work on things mechanically within my game on the mound to help me come into this camp and this season more confident and prepared. I think last year when I was going through the ups and downs in AAA, just was unsure of what I was doing and wanted to work on things, but I didn't want to work on it when I knew I was possibly going to get called up. So it allowed me time to work on some things in an atmosphere where, yeah, there's talented players, but it's not pressure on statistics. It's just go work on things that you need to work on so that I could come into this camp more confident and prepared.
I was going to say, that's pretty interesting because I wondered about the comparison of pitching in the Arizona Fall League. You don't have big crowds, and like you said, the focus isn't on the statistics, but how can you compare what you do when you are at the AAA level compared to the spring training here, and especially this year, like you said, you're competing for a spot in the rotation this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's talented players, obviously, in AAA, the Fall League, and here. It's just a matter of throwing quality pitches. I think you determine early on that these guys who have experience, they have you know, advanced approaches at the plate. So you execute a quality pitch, you'll get these guys out, and it's not too much pressure to know that, hey, you're facing a big-name guy. If you throw a quality pitch and you stick to your strengths, more times than not, you'll be successful. So the game of baseball is hard. It's harder on a hitter than it is a pitcher. So when we go out there with a confident mindset, you know, more times than not, things will go your way.
I'm sure you paid attention a lot in the offseason to what the Giants were doing. They make some deals for some veteran guys. You know, tough to see a guy like Christian Arroyo get traded, but at the same time, some really proven players that have been added to this lineup.
Yeah, absolutely. We're super, super happy with the additions that the front office went out and made. And obviously having, you know, veteran guys come in, Longoria, McCutchen, Austin Jackson, Tony Watson now, in addition to the core group of guys that we have, we know we have the pieces. We know we have the coaching staff. The front office has put, you know, the focus on winning now. And so as younger players, especially me, we know that we need to contribute. And maybe it's the back end of the rotation and the bullpen on the field somewhere. These younger guys will have to step up. And so the pieces are there. It's just a matter of going out, playing confident, believing in each other, and making it a special year from there.
You know, when I think about the Giants, I think of this team as far as pitching and the starters as sort of being an outlier compared to a lot of teams in Major League Baseball who are sort of looking to get to the bullpen quick. You know, they don't want their starters to go too deep into games or burn them out. But on this staff, I mean, you've got Bumgarner who wants to go all the way every time. Same thing with Cueto, Samardzija. What's your mindset? What have you been taught really in the minor leagues in the Giants system as far as being a pitcher and going deep into games?
Yeah, I think the big focus once you get into this organization is going deep into a ball game. Not necessarily for resting the bullpen, but for just in order for development. I think the more a pitcher can be out there, face a lineup 2-3 times, the better you are. And, yeah, you face them, you know, 3-4 times in a year, but that's the better you get, the more you're out there. So, yeah, we want to put, you know, a little bit of rest on the bullpen. But for pitchers, our big focus is going as deep as possible, quick innings, low pitch counts, less stress on the arm. And then from there, it's just a matter of handing off to the talented bullpen that we do have, righties, lefties, closers. So we got talent everywhere, pitching staff, the defense, and our lineup is impressive as well. So just a matter of handing off, passing the baton, you know, picking each other up when maybe one guy struggles. And that's what the bullpen does when a starter doesn't do well. So, but for the most part, just making sure that we go deep into a ball game and put our team in a position to win.
Has there ever been a time where you were kind of annoyed with pitch count? I mean, I know at Vanderbilt, they had to be looking at that carefully as well. But you felt like, hey, you know, I got plenty of pitches left in me, even though I've got whatever it is, 90, closing in on 100 pitches.
Yeah, I think every pitcher likes to feel the momentum of the game. If you're in a position, and I think coaches do a great job of noticing, you know, if you're going in a position where you're really cruising, you're having quick innings, you know, you're rolling through the lineup with less stress on your arm, and guys, you know, you're rolling over the lineup pretty quick. I think the staff knows that, and they'll keep throwing you out there. But when you're kind of laboring, there's guys on base every inning, you're having high pitch counts, and, you know, you still may be at like 80, 85 pitches after five innings. They know that you've had a lot of stressful innings, stressful pitches, and they want to kind of pass the baton to a guy who's fresh, ready to come into the game and kind of slow the momentum down. So it's really just playing with the momentum of the game, what point in the lineup you're at. And I think every pitcher has that, not necessarily a selfish desire to keep pitching, but they have that competitiveness that makes them want to keep the ball in their hand and pitch the full game. So that's my mentality. I want to pitch as long as I can, and as effective as I can for the whole game and help the team win. But sometimes there's a better guy in the bullpen who can shut it down for us.
How much do you pitch to your strengths rather than a hitter's weaknesses? And I'm not even sure how much in the minor leagues you really know about some of the hitters, whereas here you got more big names. You're going to face some guys that there's a bigger, longer scouting report on. How much do you pay attention to that versus, you know, what you really have going on that day?
Yeah, in terms of me personally, I stick to 100% of my strengths, and there's certainly times where you hear of a hitter's weaknesses and you try to capitalize on it. But when it comes down to it, I've heard this best from a guy like Greg Maddux, and he said, you know, if you tell yourself this is what you do when you're behind in the count, this is what you do when you're even in the count, and this is what you do when you're ahead in the count, think along with that process in the game mentally and just stick to that. It doesn't matter if Barry Bonds steps in the box, Billy Hamilton, Mike Trout. You're going to stick to your strengths of what you throw in that situation and be convicted in that pitch. And so I think that just allows you to simplify the game, simplify your mindset when you're out there on the mound, and attack the strike zone much better than if you were to try to think about a hitter's weaknesses.
When I think about Greg Maddux, I think about movement on pitches, just setting up hitters. And you've got not only the movement, but you do have the velocity. So where do you rank it as far as the importance of both of those parts of being a, you know, fastball pitcher?
Yep, I think obviously command comes first and foremost. You can move the ball from there to certain spots, you know, whether you're, you know, Greg Maddux used to X the corner. So he would throw the sinker into a lefty, and then he would throw the cutter to kind of cross that pitch, and same thing to a righty. So I think if, you know, velocity is obviously a huge talking point now. Guys who can throw harder, they get away with more pitches. You know, maybe they catch more plate, but it's more velocity, more backspin, and so they get away with more pitches. But if a guy's not throwing as hard and he's spotting the ball up, he's just as effective, if not more effective. So I think we're just trying to stick to what we call is kind of our comfort zone. And if we're, you know, a 7 out of 10, 8 out of 10, making sure that we're pitching there. We may have more in the tank velocity-wise, but if, as long as we're hitting our corners, hitting our spots, we'll be just as effective.
How often do you look at velocity? I mean, do you even peek at the gun? I mean, every stadium now has a gun. Do you want to know what you're throwing as far as fastball velocity?
I would rather not see the velocity until after the game. I like to, like I said, kind of stay in my comfort zone, not try to overthrow, and the same thing, not try to underthrow as well. So, you know, staying with what I have that day, kind of a loose, smooth, easy arm action. And if it's coming out a little better that day, I'll find out after the game. And you can always tell by hitter swing. Sometimes you'll be throwing slower maybe than another start, but you're getting more swings and misses because your effort level is that it has, you know, more backspin. It's kind of more free and easy. And to the hitter, it looks like it's a little harder. So it really just depends. You know, some days you're not feeling great, but you're throwing harder. Some days you feel great and you're getting hit around just for some particular reason. So it's just a matter of reading hitter swings.
Are you looking at the differential too? After a game, are you saying, okay, my fastball was this, my off-speed pitch was that, I need to have a little more differential, or that was good today, or whatever it is?
Right, yeah. I think, you know, you try not to take all that information and overwhelm yourself, but at the same time, it can be beneficial. So, yeah, if you see that, you know, maybe, you know, the slider was a little firmer that day and it wasn't, you know, wasn't as sharp, didn't have the bite, you know, that's probably why. Maybe I was just getting around a little too much or so on. So, hey, you can see by velocity whether a pitch was, you know, could have been more effective if I had, you know, taken a little bit more off of it.
All right, Tyler. Hey, I wish you the best here in spring training and look forward to seeing you in a Giants uniform at AT&T Park this season.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
That's Giants right-hander Tyler Beede trying to make the Giants roster out of spring training, a former first-round draft pick out of Vanderbilt. I also had a chance to sit down with Mark Melancon in the Giants clubhouse in Scottsdale. Here was that chat. Mark, how's it going as you come back? And, you know, what was the offseason like as far as preparing for this year, coming off the surgery and everything?
Offseason went well. I did a lot of rehab, obviously. So, but everything's going well and happy to be back.
What was your reaction to the moves that the team made, you know, trying to improve and getting some veteran guys, guys that have been the face of their franchise that are coming over here?
Well, I was ecstatic. You know, I've played with Kutch for a while, so I knew what we were getting there. And then Longo, who's, you know, just a cornerstone. So it's nice to have face of a franchise from another team. And Austin Jackson, I was roommates in Double A with him, so it's been great.
Tony Watson, what's he going to add to the bullpen?
Tony, he's just a consistent pitcher that's going to give you quality outings, and you know he can get both sides, lefties and righties, out. So just a professional pitcher, and obviously very happy to have him.
What have you noticed here in spring training about how hungry this team is to get back on track after, you know, a really tough year last year?
Yeah, I haven't eaten breakfast, so I'm hungry right now. But yeah, we're definitely hungry. You can see it, and it's a different feeling here this year.
And lastly, you know, when you get new teammates, and you, like you said, you know some of these guys, but how does everybody fit into a clubhouse? And I mean, as far as clubhouse chemistry, I don't know if it's ever overrated, but how do you look at it? You know, guys trying to fit in that are joining a team, and even young guys that are new guys that are trying to make the team.
I think it's always important. You gotta like each other, and a little bit at least. You know, not always, not. Not every minute, but I think it's important to have that chemistry.
All right, Mark, hey, thanks for the time. Go get some breakfast.
Thanks.
That's Giants reliever Mark Melancon, who should be a big key to the Giants' chances to compete in the National League West and for a wild card if he can be healthy all year as the Giants' closer. I want to thank him, Tyler Beede, Austin Slater, Mack Williamson, and Austin Jackson all for joining us here on Inside China Basin. Join us again next week here on thesportsvirus.com. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Have a great day, everybody.